Screeters, winter has come, and so has the next big hubbub in the OSR. I don't know if I can ignore it, talk about it. I think I'm going to talk about it because it kind of affects me in my hobby and my home life and in my with my friends. I'm kind of seeped in the whole thing, so for me just to ignore it, I'm not sure that's exactly possible. What I know for sure is that today is Monday, November 19th, 2018. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
Hey Jason, it's Cody. I was calling in response to Carl's comment on the mortality rate in the Kalmata game. We don't necessarily go about the session, at least the sessions I've played in, we don't necessarily go about it in the smartest way. We usually just roll up to whatever locale we decide to go to and start punching things with our swords, as opposed to careful planning and prep and maybe recon and, you know, figuring out the best way to get in and out of a place without alerting the local dangers, and if we do alert them, what's our contingency plan. I think if we started doing those kind of things, the mortality rate would drop, meaning we would have less character deaths and more opportunities to expand or story hack. Anyway, just wanted to give my thoughts. Keep it up, and I'll catch you later.
That was Cody M with No Save for You, and obviously one of the players in Kalmata. It's interesting that you mention this. Obviously, it's in response to my own talking about it, but Kalmata isn't the only hex crawl, drop in, drop out, West Marches style game that I'm involved in by running. We also have the Forlorn Shores. And just this morning, Eric was complaining and talking about the idea that he had posted a game was going to be happening, and he had posted over a week ago that this game was going to be happening, and there still has been no response whatsoever about what the intentions of the group are. And that is part of the problem. Everyone is very reactionary. They're not actionary. They're not proactive. They're reactive. They're waiting because they don't have to think about it, right? Why think about it if I don't have to be there? And that's the sad thing. That's the thing that makes the game less. If the players would just put a little work into it. Now, we got some players that are cool and they do some good stuff. They get awesome artists who write, or not write, but draw their characters, and they get involved and they're thinking about, you know, stuff about their characters. But like Carl had said last episode, it's not usually motivations for their characters. It's complaints that they don't have a war dog. It's complaints that it's hard to find ladders in Kalmata. Or it's complaints that they can't carry 2 8-foot-long spears. It's just, it's that sort of thing. It's not really in-game stuff. It's meta stuff. And I really think everyone's... I'm looking for the right word, my friends. I think everyone's fun would be better. It would be more encompassing. And that would be what we're looking for. That would be closer to the best session ever.
Hey, Jason, this is Rich from Cockatrice Nuggets. I just want to applaud your insight for this whole like player agency thing. It's really important to me in my game, too. It was what my game was set up to be, right? And not all 5e games are set up to be like that. So I'm having a hard time getting my players to chase more than gold. And it sounds like you're in the same boat. But all we can do is throw varied situations at them, throw varied rumors at them, and see where they go. And if they're having fun, ultimately I'm having fun because I'm doing way more behind the scenes than just playing at that table. And playing at that table, I'm hanging out with my friends. So either way, it's a win-win in my book, but not exactly the way I want to play. But hey, I'm not the one playing, really. So maybe that's something to chew on. All right, Jason, you're getting a double for me. This is Rich from Cockatrice Nuggets again, and I just want to chime in on pulling elements from other games. This is something I really like to do. I don't play VX, I play 5E, right? So that's a little different. 5E is built upon all these older editions, so it's already got a lot of stuff crammed in there and a lot of stuff that feels kind of tacked on already. But I like to pull all kinds of stuff. I love story game elements. I love doing that, what does your character think about this kind of moment? I love to say, hey, what is here? You know, ask the players, what is here? And one thing I really like doing is asking a question at the beginning of every session. Kind of a moral quandary or a, hey, you were a villain once. What do you think about this? And I love it. It gets the players into character and starts the session rolling. Talk to you later.
And that was Rich Frazier from Cockatrice Nuggets. I don't know if he means nuggets as in scrotum, or if he means nuggets as in cooked up and served, because cockatrice are like chicken, right? Or just like bits of information from a cockatrice. I'm not sure. It's a kind of a confusing name, but an interesting one. I like the idea that it's not like something lame like my buddy Jose always does, a mimic. It's like one of those more esoteric monsters.
In a quarter mile.
So good work there, Rich. And I would say that, yes, man, I'm down with the preambles and the... I would be curious to know what your questions are, what your moral quandaries are to start the session, though. And would that be better something to think about later? Or is that something to do right before the game even starts, just to get the characters being thought about by the players, you know, right then? So those are interesting. I would be curious to hear back and get an addendum on that there, Mr. Frazier.
Jason, my man, it's Colin Spike Pit. I could not let this episode pass without saying, yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed my little birthday song rendition. I don't know about well executed, but as long as you liked it, that's the main thing. And Heidi hopefully liked it too. But interludes and story games and what you're injecting into your BX games, I am all about that stuff. Totally behind you with that. I think that basically to not to would almost be a crime in my eyes. I love to hear the players explaining a little bit more about their character, or maybe talking a little bit about something that their character might know about the world. Stuff like that really makes it a great session for me as a GM. I don't want to have to do it all. So there you go. Catch you later.
Colin from Spiked Pit there. I don't know if it would be a crime, but I have been finding that people will play my hex crawl games or other people's hex crawl games, and they won't really comprehend what emergent storytelling means. And I think by making them think in character and not just for themselves, although sometimes that's what it is, it maybe helps bring that emergent narrative to the forefront and really gives it a better feeling than it would if you didn't do that. If players aren't willing or capable, or it doesn't come easily, they're not necessarily going to do it. I've talked many times about how reactive players often are, and I think it would be a way better method to get them thinking about that in a character's perspective, as opposed to just being themselves, solving the puzzle, killing the monster and stealing the thing. It's way better to figure out why they're doing that, or what it looks like when they do that, or just helping to frame through a story, as opposed to just playing Dragon Quest or whatever, dungeon or whatever. So appreciate the call, and as always, Mr. Spike Pit, talk to you soon. Status report. So I feel up. I've been positive. I have a lot of energy. But I do find myself maybe being fragile. I feel like it's strong, but I feel like maybe the blacksmith kept my armor in the fire just a little too long and a little brittle, and it could just shatter when it shouldn't. You know, we need to be able to dent that stuff up, and we need it to be able to continue to protect us through the thick and the thin and the crazy, crazy stuff that can happen on social media. So there's a new hubbub in town, and it's a reactionary hubbub, I believe. There were a couple, the usual loud mouths of the OSR creating problems, trying to be gatekeepers or whatever it is they're trying to do. They're causing problems, and someone decided they no longer want their IP to be connected to it. So for those of you who don't know, there is an OSR symbol. It's a blue OSR. It's in the old form of the TSR, which makes sense and everyone loved and have kind of co-opted. And it was under a Creative Commons license, and it was always acceptable. I mean, I have it in my Hobbs and Friends of the OSR logo. Stuart Robertson, I contacted him. I told him what I was doing. He was all about it. He says, go get him, kiddo. Slap you on the ass and say good game. But now he's decided that because he lives in Canada and there is a moral part of the Creative Commons that he can control who uses it, because if you are being a harasser or whatever, you can't use it anymore, and if you do, he can sue you. So according to the copyright lawyer types that I've talked to, he really can't. But that's beside the point, because it doesn't really matter, because now he's created an agenda that goes along with a logo that people have been using since 2011, I believe. Or maybe he started it in 2011 or 12, put out one, and then people contacted him and said what would make it better or different ways that it could be cooler. And he followed those, and then he tossed on the Creative Commons license. So it's fine. It's yours. I have no problem with that. But the thing that I do have a problem with is now I actually kind of got into an argument on MeWe about this today. The people that are saying that they can't understand why people are upset about someone trying to take it to task now and controlling their own logo that they already gave away and told people they could use, now trying to take it back. Whenever you give something and then try to take it back, it's going to cause issues. But then when you are also adding that if someone tells you that there's harass, then you'll pull the logo. Now you're not only making it your choice and you're deciding what the moral ambiguity is, but you're also saying you'll listen to what other people have to say about these things. And if you don't realize how much trouble it can cause when you are trying to police morality, or how your morality might be different than someone else's, or all these, how that could be an issue for someone's IP and now you want to change it, then you certainly haven't listened to this podcast very often, because you've seen what I've fallen into when I had someone else in charge of my IP. It causes a lot of problems, and it doesn't, people don't see eye to eye about things, and so when they don't, then there can be issues. The person that I was arguing with on MeWe today, who's already deleted all of his posts, or maybe someone else deleted them, I don't know, but it's kind of put publishers into a lose-lose situation. So if they don't want someone to pull the OSR logo that has been in their podcast logo since its creation for 2 years now with no trouble, then what do? They can't really... Here's what happens. If they make their own logo and add it, now people are saying, oh, you're changing your logo. You must be preparing yourself to harass people and you're a bad person. No, I'm not preparing to harass anyone. What I am doing is making sure that I'm in control of my own IP. And I think to think otherwise is really trying to just push your own political agenda on people. You're not even paying attention to what people are saying or doing or what they need to do in order to make themselves feel safe or better. You're only deciding that certain things make people feel unsafe, or the only possible reason that you could not want to use the logo is because you harass people
and you think it's going to get taken away. No, I don't harass people. I feel way more harassed than I harass people. I am the least harassing person around. I do not condone other people harassing people. But I have seen a question of, is it harassment or not? Some people feel unsafe about things that other people don't. This is why they created the X card to begin with. So why would we need something like that unless sometimes some people think it's okay to do certain things and other people don't? So they create an X card so they wouldn't do it. Okay, I'm not in control of what someone thinks is harassment or could be construed as harassment. In fact, I feel harassed way more than people probably feel they're harassing me. So this is why a subjective decision like that causes concern with people who may own their IP and we're using the OSR logo under the creator's okay. So that's my fun new thing with the OSR. I don't really know how well I described it or explained it, but I'm pretty sure Tenkar probably did something similar, but maybe a little more aggressive. I don't know. Am I passive aggressive? I don't think so. Let me know. Let me know what you guys think. I'm taking tons of offers on OSR logos or how I could change my own logo. Hobbs and Friends with the OSR. I had some critiques on it in the past anyways. Thought it said Hobbs and OSR of the Friends or something similar. So there you go. Anyhow, I don't think it's a very long episode. Yay. Talk to you soon. It's better to burn out than to fade away.